friendship. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
That's right. I am so glad that you're here. In fact, I'm glad that I'm here. How about that? Happy Thursday. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. My name is Joey Kroll. Hello. So good to be spending some time with you. And, oh, yes, has it clicked yet? The final, what, today and tomorrow, the final days of January. And then Saturday starts a brand new month, February already. In fact, February, my wife and I are going to go have a nice 3-day weekend. She and I are going to go down to southern Illinois. We're going to stay at a nice cabin. I know it's a little too cold for a cabin this time of the year, but we're going to stay at a cabin. There's out in nature. Just kind of get away from the hustle and bustle, because sometimes life can just burn you out. It really can. In fact, this past week, please be praying for our church. Just so much is going on. A lot of people are just in the hospital. A lot of people are in hospice within our church, and our church is only about 120 members, so that is quite a bit. Some great people, really, really sick, and it can be kind of overwhelming visiting them and praying with them and just holding on to the promises of God in the midst of it all. So it can really tear you up. You know, thankfully, as Christians, we know where we're going. Amen. We know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But in the midst of all of that, when you lose someone you truly love and appreciate and respect, you know that they're present with the Lord. Your heart still needs to catch up with that thought. Your emotions need to catch up with that thought as well. So be praying for our church as well. But I am looking forward, though, to our nice little getaway, my wife and I, no kids, no responsibility. Oh, I can't wait. It's coming up in February. But hey, lots of great stuff happening here, though. Next week, Moody Bible Institute's Founders Week happening. You can listen to it right here on WGNN all next week as well, with a variety of teachers and speakers and such. And don't forget, starting next Friday, a week from tomorrow, you're invited to the Genesis Bible Study hosted by Great News Radio, Mark Burns and Pastor Jason, for a 5-week Bible study on the book of Genesis. Yeah, we're doing that again at Judah Christian School in Champaign. It's going to be happening the first and third Friday of every month, beginning next Friday. Will take place from 6:30 till 8 p.m. Now, the cost is only $10 for the materials. And you know Mark Burns, he does a great job with getting some extra freebies and goodies in on that stuff as well. If you want to get more information, or if you want to get registered for the Bible study on the book of Genesis beginning next Friday night, 6:30 at Judah Christian School, give us a call. We'll set you up. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Well, our devotion for today, we'll be taking a look at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7 and 8, and we're going to be talking about a fight you can't win on your own. Oh, it's going to be a great study today from Romans chapter 7 and 8, coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio. Waking us now. listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. And are you a big fan of, like, the whole Lord of the Rings? I'm not really into this, the book series and movies and so forth. But what I heard was it plays out in a land called Middle Earth. Hobbits, tree creatures, and other characters dwell in this unique land. One figure is a flawed hobbit named Gollum. Since he has held so long to the corrupting power of a magic ring, his body and mind have degenerated, and he is a hideous being controlled by base desires. And in one chapter of the book, Gollum has a heated argument with himself. He switches back from evil to good, and back to evil again, good to evil. This raging conflict happens in his life. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul spoke to the ongoing war within all believers, the enduring struggle with indwelling sin. All Christians find themselves in this frustrating feud. I mean, arrows of temptation continually fly from all sides. But the good news is this: Jesus has delivered the death blow to sin. Can I get an amen? We may be at war, but we are never a picture of defeat. Paul identified the struggle, but celebrated our ultimate victory. Romans chapter 7, verses 14, and we're going to focus on today's little devotional. Will be coming from Romans chapter 7, verses 14, all the way to Romans 8, 2. It says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I, myself, who do it, but it is the slave living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Verse 22, for my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." What a great picture Paul writes there of that struggle of sin. Imagine two Olympic-sized strong men on each side of you. One has this big old grip on your right wrist, and the other holds your left like a boa constrictor. And at the whistle, you're caught in this massive tug-of-war, your body painfully pulled in opposite directions. And this, Romans chapter 7 and 8, the war with sin is real, agonizing and intense. Nobody has been able to reach heaven by the law, by following these do's and don'ts. So what about the law? If it leads to death, then why does it exist? The Ten Commandments. Why do they all exist? The law represents, friend, the unchangeable standard of God. The law represents the unchangeable standard of God. Salvation by grace does not de-emphasize God's high standards of holiness. The law points us to faith in Jesus Christ. Reading these verses can be quite confusing. In some moments, Paul seemed to be caving to defeat. I mean, he said, "What a wretched man I am." Had Paul thrown in the towel, waving the white flag? No! The Apostle Paul was encouraging his brothers and sisters, identifying with their continual need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, encouraging them to remember that we are all in the middle of the sanctification process. See, that's a church word for you. Sanctification. What does that even mean? Sanctification means you're being made holy. It's a process. I mean, I would love to say when a person gets saved, they start automatically looking like Jesus. They start tithing the day after they get saved. They start doing all of these things. But it's a process, friend. And when we actually get to our destination, well, we'll be in heaven. But at the moment you enter his kingdom, God makes you his. He starts polishing and preparing you on the path to holiness. Does a Christian face temptation? Oh, yes. Does a Christian feel embarrassed by his remaining works? Of course. But as Romans chapter 6 teaches, filled by God's Spirit, the Christian has the ability to move forward, to hold his or her head up high, and to overcome. Now, holiness, again, that sanctification process may be slow going, but the artist, that's right, the artist God is unreasonably patient with his people. We see that in Peter. The night before Jesus was arrested, he warned Peter compassionately. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has come to ask permission to sift you like wheat." But Jesus said, "But when you come back, I want you to strengthen your brothers." You can find that whole great study in Luke 22. Jesus knew that Peter would succumb to temptation, and Jesus knew that Peter would not be defeated by his sin. Friend, as long as we remain this side of glory, we will continue to wrestle with sin. Now, for some of us, that's like, whew, what a relief. You know, I'm not alone. Paul can identify with the struggles. Or some of us, it could be like, oh, you got to be kidding me. We're going to continue until we are back home in glory. But as long as we remain this side of glory, friend, we will continue to wrestle with sin. We will do things we wish we hadn't. We will get frustrated with ourselves over the fact that we did that thing that we hate and what was evil. But don't let your struggles with sin make you doubt your salvation. Yet in your battle with sin, do not go to the other extreme and think you can do nothing but sin, taking God's grace, love, and mercy and using it as a blank check to do whatever, whenever you want. As a Christian, to be honest, friend, as a Christian, if we fully grasp the sin, if we fully grasp God's holiness and what he did for you and for me, that should not bring us to a point and say, well, then let me just sin whatever I want. It's a blank check. If we get a full grasp of what sin is and who God is, and what he did for you and me, that we should fall down and worship him. This is not a fight, friend, that we can win by ourselves. This is not a fight that we can win by ourselves. Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from this struggle of sin, this body that's of death? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a fight and a battle that you can't win by yourself. And we can take heart that you and I, friend, are not alone in facing our ongoing struggle with sin. Only the second coming of Christ will end our epic battle with sin. So let's continue to fight on. Let's dig in our heels. And when sin pulls, pull it back until sin falls back into the mud, because Jesus had already delivered the final death blow. Opportunity may only knock once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God. You are not a God dependent.
Yes, the Maranatha Singers, and You Are God Alone, and How Great is Our God. Amen and amen. Well, friend, thank you so much for letting me tag along with you as part of your Thursday, part of the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Join us again tomorrow for the Friday. That's right, tomorrow's Friday, Friday edition with Mark and Jason tomorrow, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.